Let's talk about some reasons to be optimistic about the basketball team. Seriously, why you shouldn't sell your great guard stock just yet, and why I think there's still some very interesting scenarios here. We're going to talk about that today on Locked On Badgers. Let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, Badger fans? Welcome to Locked On Badgers, your team every single day. Really do appreciate everybody tuning in. Really appreciate everyone that leaves comments, that likes the show. Y'all are amazing. Today's show is brought to you by FanDuel. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Really do appreciate, like I said, everybody tuning in, everybody chiming in with comments, with thoughts, with suggestions. Even when you're disagreeing with me, it's awesome. I think we build a good community, a vibrant community that way. All right, so no surprise, right? We went in pretty hard on Greg Gard and the basketball team after yesterday's very disappointing, ugly, dispirited loss to Maryland on the road, right? That was an ugly game. Wisconsin fell apart in the second half, and the therapy session was tough. We had some honest sharing of feelings in that therapy session. I felt like we bonded as a group, right? We came together. But I've been thinking about it a lot this last day. And I really want to talk about maybe some of the reasons we shouldn't, I don't want to say overreact, right? Because there are legitimate issues with this team that I don't think are born out of overreaction. I think honestly and intellectually, we can take a look at this and say, there's some real things here that aren't working well. And that falls on Greg Gard. But I also want to kind of flip to the other side of this, because I also think there's some real reasons for optimism, not just for this year, but especially going forward. I want to highlight those. I want to talk about them. I want your thoughts on it. You know, when I was coaching basketball, I used to coach basketball a little bit. And I went to a coaching clinic, and I remember his college coach, he said, you know, you are never as bad as your worst moments on film. Your team is never actually that bad. And conversely, your team is never as good as its best moments, right? This team was never the 14th best team in the country. I think that's where we got in the rankings. But conversely, I don't think this team is a lose 5 out of 6 type of cellar dweller either, right? This recent stretch we've been in has really jaded us. But there was a weird scheduling snafu. We had to play a couple games in close order without a starter. Tyler Wall getting hurt, I think, really hurt. You know, two of those games in that stretch we still could have won, Michigan State, Northwestern for sure. So I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just saying you shouldn't draw too many conclusions from that hot start. You shouldn't draw every conclusion from this recent stretch of bad basketball. And again, that's not to say I don't have issues with some of what Greg Gard does. Of course I do. I'm not trying to play both sides of the fence here. Of course I do. Like the stubbornness still kills me. But I want to take a step back and I want to look at some of the things that I really like about this program still. Some of the things that came out of this year that have me optimistic. Some of the things going into the future that have me really excited. And reasons why I see people kind of throwing away the great guard stock. I would hold on to it for just a little bit still. And that's where I'm at. So the first one is here. Here's my first reason. Here's my biggest reason. I know some people don't want to hear that. And that's totally cool. Like, this is only my opinion. That doesn't make it the right opinion. That just makes it mine. And if you disagree, put it in the comments. Let me know. Y'all know I put those up on the show and we talk about it. So if you disagree, I'm going to put it up and we'll talk about it. I'm all about that. We get smarter when we talk about the things we disagree about respectfully. But here's my opinion. I think he can coach. I really think Greg Gard he's a stubborn guy. But I think from an X's and O standpoint, from a getting his team typically ready to play standpoint, I think he can really coach. He's won 65% of his games. Like, let's just be super honest with this. Bad coaches don't win 65% of their games in the Big Ten. Okay, it doesn't happen. He's a 2-time conference coach of the year, 2-time Big Ten regular season champion. 5 out of 6 chances he's gotten his team into March Madness. Like, those bad coaches don't do those things. No matter what you think of Greg Gard, and again, there's certainly spots you can poke holes in this. But no matter what you think of him, that resume is not the resume of a bad X's and O's coach. That's a guy who can coach. That's a guy who's won a lot of games. He's won a lot of close games. And that's not all luck, right? I think he has a really good job of from an X's and O's standpoint, understanding his system, drilling it with detail. I think he does a great job of recruiting to his system. And again, these are all things we can talk about that he needs to get better at. But I think he develops big men really well. I think his staff understands culture for the most part, outside of a really weird situation with that Alonzo Tucker thing. You know, so there's a lot here to like, right? And I think you start with the fact that the guy is a good basketball coach. He's a basketball lifer. He learned from Bo Ryan. He's not Bo Ryan because very few people are a Hall of Fame coach, right? Let's be very clear on that. But he's a good coach. And 65% of his games he's won for Wisconsin, 5 out of 6 times in the tournament, right? 2 conference titles, 2 Big Ten Coach of the Year awards. Those are accolades that most coaches don't get because most coaches aren't that good. So that's my first thing. The other thing I would say, and I did a show in the offseason about this. I think I titled it Nebraska Fans Would Kill to Be Us, by the way, which I think they still would. Deep down where they keep their corn husks, I think they would still kill to be us in a lot of ways. But the crux of that episode was Wisconsin fans are pretty spoiled with consistent success, right? I think we can all admit that. That doesn't mean you shouldn't strive for more. That doesn't mean you should be complacent, right? Obviously, football has taught us that lesson very, very well. But it does mean that that one oddball anomaly bad year probably causes us to freak out more than it probably should, right? And if you just look at the best coaches in college basketball at premier programs, they all have years like this. This is the fact that Wisconsin doesn't typically have a year like this is the anomaly. Like the fact that we don't have years where we're worried if we're going to make the conference title or if we're going to make March Madness the dance, that's bizarre. Very few fan bases have that. I mean, you just look at some of the, again, the great coaches in college basketball. John Calipari went 9-16 in 2021. You know, the next year he went 26-8, right? They didn't give up on it. Jay Wright had a 13-19 year in 2012. The next year he was 20-14, and the year after that he went 29-5. That was at Nova. That's Jay Wright. I mean, that dude's one of the great coaches of our generation. Tony Bennett went 21-14 last year. Tony Bennett, the guy everybody's dying to get into Madison, 21-14 last year, went to the NIT, right? What is he doing this year? 15-3. Again, Tom Izzo, right? 2021 season, he went 9-11 in conference. Izzo, right there. It's Calipari, Jay Wright, Tony Bennett, Tom Izzo. Every single one of them has a year just like Greg Gard is going through now. And I bet you if you zoomed in on those fan bases forums, those fan bases message boards, they were all like, this dude can't figure it out. You know, he's jumped the shark. What are we doing? He's lost his touch. Listen, this is normal to go through a dip, to have a year coming off. Like, again, we won the conference title last year. We had a player go to the lottery. That's a successful season by just about any non-Duke, Kentucky, Kansas metric, right? That's a successful college basketball season. And this year it's been a dip, which I thought there would be. I didn't think it'd be this far. I wasn't Nostradamus there, but I thought there would be a dip. It could just be, what I'm saying is it could just be a one-year anomaly. This could be that one-year dip that every one of these coaches I just talked about has gone through, right? Calipari did it, and the next year he went 26-8. Jay Wright did it, and the next year he went 20-14 and then 29-5. Tony Bennen did it, and he's 15-3 this year. Tom Izzo did it. Like, this is not unusual to have a year like this. Now, again, that doesn't mean, I've been super clear on this, that doesn't mean you just say, oh, whatever, it doesn't matter. We're due a bad year. No, be critical. That because that's being intellectually honest. Say, hey, this didn't work because you didn't build enough depth. That's a completely fair point, but that point doesn't necessarily need to be followed up with. You didn't build enough depth, and therefore you're on the hot seat, right? I think Greg Gard, and again, this is just my opinion. I could be off on this. Y'all could disagree on this, and that's totally awesome. Like I can't stress it enough. I think disagreements respectfully are really healthy. So if you disagree, let me know. But I don't think it's time to flip the hot seat button. Like next year, he deserves a chance to right this ship without a bunch of external pressure around him. And then we'll see where it goes from there. But that's my first big point on this, why I think maybe we were overreacting a little bit in the big picture sense, because Greg Gard can coach, and having a down year for a good coach is not unusual. In fact, it's kind of normal. And the fact that we haven't had a lot of them speaks to how consistent, how successful, how lucky we have been as Badger fans. So that's my first big point here. Coming up, I want to talk about another one with our roster construction and what actually works with it and why looking forward, it might make a whole lot more sense. We're going to talk about that next on Locked On Badgers. But first, today's show is brought to you by our new friends over at FanDuel. FanDuel, again, is our new sponsor, new friend of the show. The NFL playoffs are here. We've talked about it a lot. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On. Number one fan book, sports book in America, it's FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. right? Because now you get to experience all their great stuff for the first time. Y'all remember the first time you experienced anything great? It's always magical. That's FanDuel. New customers join today, get started with $150 for free with a $5 bet. Win or lose, $150 for free. You can't go wrong on that. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets. Chance at bigger payouts with same game parlays. It's incredible stuff. I've talked about it a ton. Y'all, if you want to get in on this here, be smart, make the right move. Get on that on the Niners +2.5. Put a few bucks on that. Take the winnings, reinvest it. 20 years down the road, you're going to thank me when you buy that new condo with the winnings off this Niners game. Trust me on this. You're going to thank me. So Locked On, again, it's what we're using, an app that's safe, secure, super easy to use. Football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Okay, let's keep going. Let's keep rolling with this conversation. Again, let me know in the comments if you think I'm crazy. This isn't hyperbole, though. This isn't like clickbait stuff. These are things I really thought about this for a while, reasons that maybe we shouldn't overreact so much right now in this moment. So my next one here is the team is 12-7, right? We're in this swoon. The roster construction is not great. We talked about it. That's Captain Obvious stuff here. I'm not breaking any news. But the roster, when it's healthy, has actually been pretty good, right? And again, people will say, well, how can you expect it to be healthy? I agree. Like, this is a flawed team. At no point in this argument am I going to say this is a perfect team and Greg Gard's just unlucky. No, it's a flawed team. Okay, it's a mediocre team with a moderate ceiling if everything clicks right. Okay, that's fine. You're not going to have a great team every year. But when this team is healthy, when Klesman's in there, when Wall's in there, this team's 11-2, right? Is that's kind of off the top of my head. But they lost to Kansas and Wake, both incredibly close games, by the way. This team's like 5 points from being undefeated without their starting unit healthy. Think about that. So in some way, like the lineup that Greg Gard constructed does work. It won 85% of its games when everybody was healthy. So it's not like this was a bad unit doomed to fail. Now, this team was 14th or 15th in the country, for Pete's sake. And again, that was never sustainable. I've talked about the luck factor in close games and how that's not sustainable, but this team is much better than it's shown recently when the pieces are in there. And you do have to give Gard some credit for that, right? Tyler Wall has developed. Kral is much better this year. Connor Asijan, we talk all about recruiting failures. Connor Asijan is a recruiting home run. Like, let's give credit where credit's due on that one. Max Klesman, not the highest profile transfer. You can certainly argue Greg Gard should have set that bar a little higher. But Klesman's in super solid. Really good defender. A good shooter. I wish he would shoot more. But this team works decently well enough when everybody's healthy. And again, in a bad year, in an anomaly year, if decently well enough is where you're at, that's fine. That's better than most college basketball teams in their anomaly year. So I think on that, if we're looking at it from that front and we're looking at it from that standpoint, this team, even that's not a failure of a season. If everyone stays healthy, you're winning, 11-2, and then you get hurt. So what's coming up next is Klesman's not going to be out for that long. Tyler Wall's back. The rest of the starters are healthy. It's not inconceivable that Klesman comes back in and you resume winning. You're not going to win at the original clip because the level of competition has jumped up considerably, right? But you did beat Marquette. You did beat Iowa. You did beat Maryland with that starting unit. So it's very realistic to assume that when Klesman gets back in, right, now Connor Asijan is rolling, Stephen Crowell has stepped up, that you're going to start winning 60% of your games again, right? And get yourself right back into that borderline, maybe 10 seed, 11 seed, 9 seed, whatever it is. I don't think that's crazy because we saw it early in the year. We literally saw it. So get healthy, pray to the injury gods if you do that, whatever it is. You know, so much of sports is injury luck, regardless of how deep your team is, right? But if this team is healthy, they've proven they can be a pretty solid team. And that's not terrible in a bad year. The other thing I'd point out is as that first chunk of the season, Connor Asijan was finding his way. The coaching staff was finding their way with Connor, right? Both of those things were still in flux. Now we've seen a star kind of born here. And this is the other thing I wanted to talk about. Connor Asijan, 4 games in a row is at least 33 minutes, right? 5 games in a row, 10 plus points, coming off his career high with 19. So the Connor train is now fully rolling. And it feels like the coaching staff understands that he needs to play regardless of what's happening, no matter what, starter level minutes. So now with that star in Esiagen starting to bloom, if you bring Klesmet back, I think the roster is even better than it was at the beginning of the year because Kral's also been playing a lot better. So this team, it's not a championship team this year. Not close, right? Again, thank you, Captain Obvious, Ryan. But it's good enough to win several games down the stretch and put themselves at least in a position to get to March and at least in a position to win an opening round game. And that's fun. Those are fun things to do. Those are fun things to cheer for. Those are fun things to be involved with. So I don't think, I'm not trying to talk on both sides of this because I blasted guard a little bit for the lack of depth. I think that's still a fair point, but it's also a fair point to say the starting unit, when it's there, when it's healthy, works with this roster. And then I talked about the other thing I want to talk about is you're looking in the future now. And I said, reasons for optimism, kind of this show is reasons for optimism this year, but more so in the future, right? Reasons for optimism right now, but really next year and the year beyond. And if you start looking at next year, Chucky Hepburn's going to come back. He's going to be a junior. Players get better, okay? Connor Seagen's going to be so much better as a sophomore than a freshman. He's going to be back, right? Steven Crowell's going to be back. Do you see the jump he made from last year to this year, putting on 20 pounds of muscle? Now he spends that offseason fine-tuning his post-game, shooting a little better. Like, he's going to be better next year. So this core group of players are all back, and players develop, players get better. Players sometimes get better later in their careers. You know, maybe Jordan Davis takes a jump. Max Klesmet will be back. He'll be a senior. He could take another jump. You know, Isaac Lindsay is another year healthier. Hodges, Ilver. And I know everybody's saying, well, these guys, they're not playing well to begin with, but some players are late bloomers, right? Especially Madison. We've seen it with big men. Maybe Hodges can play next year a little bit more. Ilver can play. But I know for a fact the Seagen's going to be a lot better. Hepburn's going to be better. Wall could come back. You could very conceivably next year have this same team, everybody with another year of experience, Connor Seagen blossoming into one of the best two guards in the Big Ten, plus Gus Yalden comes in. I'm telling you, like, next year could be a lot more fun, and we'll look back at this year and say, not fun, but I get it, right? Not fun, but the pieces were there. They took a step, and now we're enjoying this season. So that's the other thing I would really talk about here is – everybody on this team potentially can come back, right? And I don't know what Tyler Wall will do. He is a senior. He can exercise that extra year. But even if he leaves, a backcourt of junior Hepburn, sophomore Connor Seagen, that's going to be really good. Senior Steven Crowell should be really solid, right? And then you got to think a couple of the role players are going to step up. They're going to get better, whether it's a Kamari McGee, an Ilver, a Hodges, Davis, whoever it is. Players don't stop growing, even if they haven't grown as fast as you would expect them to. So that's the other part of this that is pretty optimistic to me going forward. But we're going to pick a pause there. And then coming up, I'm going to give you one more reason, looking in the future, why you should be kind of stoked and potentially excited about where this program could go. That's coming up next on Lockdown Badgers. We're going to take a quick break for our friends of the show. All right, welcome back to Lockdown Badgers. Really do appreciate y'all. Again, this is the optimism show. We need some of it occasionally. And it's really centered around the idea that I don't think you're ever quite as bad as your lowest moments or as good as your highest moments. So I think there's reasons here to still be excited about Badgers basketball, both this year and into the future. I do have a comment here from Jim Sainsbury. He said, every once in a while you get a dud team, and that is every team in college sports. This Badger squad is duds except for Seagen. Look forward to next year. So, yeah, Jim's kind of talking about some of the things I hit on. You know, and specifically that every once in a while for every single team in every sport, you get kind of a dud, kind of an anomaly year. That's the fact that we don't get them often is, again, indicative of our consistent success. And that's something that we should maybe be a little more self-aware of. I'll speak for myself. Maybe I should be a little more self-aware of that. And the other thing he's saying is look forward to next year. Let's continue talking next year then, because that's kind of where I want to talk. I talked about the returning players. I touched on Gus Yalden, but let's dive into that recruiting class, the Gus Yalden, Nolan Winter, and John Blackwell Jr. class. So Yalden's a star. I've said that from the beginning. I've said it from the jump. He is going to be so good, and I think he's going to play right away, and he's going to help solve that front court depth. He's physically developed. He's improved his conditioning this year. He's a borderline top 100 prospect in the country. He's a guy that's going to drive opposing Big Ten teams nuts. He can shoot. He has great IQ, great feel, high energy player. He's going to bring some of that excitement. You know that Brad Davidson, whether you loved him or whether some of it, You didn't really love some of the stuff at times. His energy was contagious. You could see it on the court when he'd start flailing his fists around after a big play, get on the floor, yell and scream, and the crowd got amped. The other team got frustrated. You know, like that's part of what the connective tissue of a really good team is, that emotional leader, that guy that's getting people fired up. And maybe Gus can't do it as a freshman right away, but he is a high energy, I don't want to say cocky, but he kind of used the word cocky when he was on the show. Like he's a high energy, fun dude with a lot of skill, great size, great feel. He's going to play next year and he's going to help the team next year. So you already had that group, that nucleus I talked about coming back, the Hepburn, Asijan, Crowell, potentially Wall, all the role players. And you're going to add Gus Yaldin into that. And he's going to make the team deeper. He's going to make them better. He's going to give them another scoring option. He's going to give them a guy who can move the ball, who's going to move defensively really intelligently, understand what teams are doing. He's going to make the team better next year, I promise you. I'm so high on Gus Yaldin. And then you have Nolan Winter, who I don't know if he's going to play as much next year, but if you're thinking long-term upside, Justin was on the show, compared him a little bit to a John Luehr. I know Rajiv loves Nolan Winter as well. He's going to be a potential NBA type talent if he develops. He's got that type of high upside ceiling. Now, a lot of players have that ceiling and never develop, but Winter's a high type A planned upside big time player, big get for Greg Gard. Okay, so we talked a lot about the recruiting, I don't want to say failure, but yeah, some recruiting failures, let's be honest, that led to the lack of depth on this team. You look at next year's class, you're bringing in Winter, Yaldin, and John Blackwell Jr., who is a defensive dog. What did we see against Maryland? What did we see against Penn State? We saw their guards, their two guards, their point guard getting into the paint, getting by us in off the dribble, making it really hard for us to keep him out of the paint. Blackwell's a great defensive guard. He's physical. He's 6'3". He's already kind of looks the part of a college player. Now, he needs to get better, but he could step into the rotation right away next year as well. And a guy who's a really good shooter, right? We had Jason Jordan on the show, the Sports Illustrated recruiting director, who's seen Blackwell in person. He said he's the best shooter in this class. And we're high on Yaldin as a shooter. We're high on Winter as a shooter. He said Blackwell's better than both of them. So you're getting a physically developed 6'3 guard in this class who's a defensive guy who can shoot, right? You're getting Gus Yaldin, who's going to play right away. There might be, just with those two dudes, the rotation could get two people deeper. We've seen Greg Gard play freshman. Like, it's not as crazy as it was under Bo Ryan. I think both those guys could join the rotation. That rotation already gets better. And maybe you add in a transfer. I've seen so much consternation about, like, this is the end of basketball, Wisconsin. He's got to be in the hot seat. He can't figure it out. I'm telling you, next year is going to be a lot better. I really, truly believe that. Now, do I think everything is solved with Greg Gard? I don't, because I think he has a stubborn streak that still really frustrates me. And I think this is probably always going to frustrate me. But he can be a much better than average coach with good talent and just be a little stubborn, and that works. How high is that ceiling? That's a whole nother question, but I think the floor is definitely pretty high. I think next year is going to be better. I don't think this year is a write-off either. If the players get healthy, I think we've seen this team play well enough. And the emergence of Connor Asijan really over the last 5-6 games gives them another potential star here in the second half. If we can get healthy around him, it could make some noise. It wouldn't shock me if we knock off a few teams, get into the dance, win a week one game. And I think that's probably the ceiling of this team. But then next year, be much better. So let me know. Let me know what you think. I've been thinking about it a lot today. I think I've kind of convinced myself even a little bit. Now, I'm still frustrated with things. I'm still not fully happy with everything that's happened with Greg Gard's recruiting and his stubbornness. But the man can coach. There's a good class coming in next year. There's a lot of youth on this team that's all going to be back next year, with the exception of potentially Wall. So brighter times, I think, are ahead, Badger fans. Let's stick with it. All right, with that, we're going to leave the show. Really do appreciate everybody tuning in. We're going to talk more tomorrow. Really fun interview coming up tomorrow. You're going to want to hit that one. And, oh, last note. I did a show. I recorded a show yesterday talking about Alexander, the 24 commit, the cornerback, how excited I was that he was back on campus. He decommitted like 2 hours after that show. So apologize if you heard that. I did record the show before he decommitted, but yeah, so he did decommit. We'll see where he ends up. Probably not Wisconsin if you had to bet on it. Anyway, on Wisconsin, really do appreciate y'all, and let's go.